I said, it's a blessing to have Brother Bernard here. Very thankful for the public prayer he prayed on our behalf, and would ask that you would continue to pray this morning for me and for yourselves, you know, that God would bless our hearts to be open and to take in some understanding that maybe we don't have. You know, there's only one truth that we have available to us in the world, and it's in the 66 books that make up this Bible. There is no other truth. All truth is measured by the Word of God. If you have a King James Version of the Bible, you have all the truth that you'll ever need in this world concerning everything that you'll undergo in this world. You know, most people think they need books and philosophy and all that. We don't. The Lord, in His wisdom, understood everything that we would go through. Now, when we think about, I want to spend a minute, and I don't want to get political at all, but I want to mention what happened in Midland down there. You know, we've seen that. We've seen it in El Paso not long ago and other various places in the country. And, you know, it's something that is getting very close to home, if you would want to put it that way. You know, there's no doubt in my mind it could happen right here in Lubbock, Texas, or it could happen somewhere in a smaller community. No doubt about it. You know, we have a tendency to want to arm ourselves with the natural weapons of this world so we can take on these people. But those folks that were driving up and down the interstate yesterday had no idea what was going on until it happened. No amount of arms you had would have been able to properly vindicate yourself under the situation that went on there. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They're mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. You know, it's God is our help. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that the Lord is our helper. The Lord is the one that keeps us. You know, there was a time that my life, I'm sure as parents, we all have this sense of security and keeping our children around us when they're growing up as though we can protect them. But you know, at the end of the day, my times and your times and their times are in the hand of the Lord. They're in no one else's hand. I can't prevent them from attack. I can't prevent them from an accident. But I tell you, God can. And He's the only one that can. And we need to be very mindful of that. So, considering that this morning, I called Brother Don Richards yesterday. And he'd went down. They had something for Brother Mark. He's now been in the ministry 25 years. And the church done something for him at Little Vine. So, they asked Don to come down, and he was on his way to Midland yesterday afternoon, and I called him. He was between San Angelo and Eden, and he didn't know anything about it, and I began to tell him what was going on down there, just found out myself. And, you know, he said, he made a point that I believe. He said it begins at home. You know, that's the truth. God established the family before He established worship, before He established government, and as the family goes, so goes our nation, so goes our churches, and everything. When the family unit is not functioning the way that God intended for it to function, and it's not in this country, I'll assure you, then we ought not to be surprised at the things that are going on. We don't have to like them, but we ought not to be surprised, because God's word tells us that, and Lord willing, we're going to look at some of those this morning. I'm going to take most of my message from Deuteronomy chapter 8, but I want to continue with these thoughts for just a moment. I've stated this many times, and I'm going to state it again today. And I don't have any problem stating, I'm not here to offend anyone. But if God's people in this land was as thankful as they ought to be, this house would be full every Sunday. Amen. Every Sunday. We wouldn't miss a Sunday, because God has blessed us with unbelievable things. You have a car that you came here in? Do you have a job to provide food for your family? Has God given you time to go out and enjoy the beauty of His creation, to spend time? We ought to be rushing into the house of God, thanking Him for His goodness every day. We're told to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, aren't we? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We're to praise Him. In His courts, we're to give Him praise. We're to bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. The Lord is good, even when we don't thank Him, even when we don't do what we should do, through His rich mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, He continues to bless us in spite of us not being thankful as we should. I tell you, I spent many years not in the church, but there's not a better place to be. You know, some people say, well, I can go out and I can worship God on the river. I can worship God on the lake. But God commanded us to assemble ourselves. The fourth commandment says, it talks about the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Do you know what it means to keep it holy? If you read John Newton's comments about what that means, I think he's right on. He says to abstain from all work, all thought of work, all finances. Matter of fact, he says to abstain from recreation and pleasure that you take in on the other 6 days of the week. Do we understand what it means when God says he is holy? He says we're to be holy. Because I am holy, be ye holy. That means that when we enter into the Sunday, the Sabbath day, we ought to set everything in this world apart. If you're not doing it, you're not as thankful unto God as you ought to be. God gave you your job. God gave you the opportunity to go somewhere. God give you everything that you have. We ought to be here for no other purpose than to give God the great thanks that he deserves. That's what remembering the Sabbath means. That's what means keeping it holy. That's ridding ourselves of the world. He hallowed this day that we ought to lift up his name and put him first and foremost in our life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Boy, we need God's peace ruling in the hearts of a lot of people this day and time, don't we? To the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. He commanded us to be thankful, but honestly, how could we not be thankful? We're to offer thanks when we eat. We're to offer thanks every time we pray. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If we begin to write down the things that we're thankful for in our lives, we could sit here till the Lord come back and couldn't write them all down. There's not enough paper in the world to write down all the blessings that you and I ought to be thankful for. We live in the land of abundance. We live in a land where we have received many blessings based upon the work of our forefathers. The work of godly men back in that fought for our freedoms and all the things that we have are owed to someone else. All the things that we have in heaven and in hope is owed to Jesus Christ. You know, we're gonna reap some benefits in our lives for something that we didn't do. Because when it comes to our eternal salvation, we had no part in that activity. We were passive and the Lord was active. And he came and he finished the work that he came to do. And you and I, one day, based upon his promise, we're going to live with him. And I hope that day's today. I honestly do. The longer I live, the more I'm like Brother James Baker said, I wake up today hoping this is the day that the Lord comes back. This world's full of trouble. You know, we're told over in Job chapter 14 and verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We're going to have troubles, are we not? In this world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. It's only in Jesus and through Jesus and by Jesus can we continue in this life. It's through his strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. You know, we see men that are high and mighty in life and they believe they've accomplished great things. But I tell you, if God had blessed them to have the strength to do those things, they wouldn't have accomplished anything. We're to give God the credit. We owe it to him. I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and spend a little time there this morning. Don't know how much time that will be, but whatever the Lord would bless. I used to call this chapter the American Dream. But this chapter is 20 verses long, and it's speaking to the children of Israel that they had finally got to the point that they were going to cross the Jordan into the Promised Land. And all the details it gives us there have a whole lot of bearing on our life right here now. Do you know that? Yeah. Those things which were written aforetime were written for our learning. Amen. They were written that we might learn. God didn't put this in here just to have something to do. He didn't put it in there so you might read some historical event. He put it in there because it has some benefit to us. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for instruction. But here's where a lot of people don't like it. It's profitable for reproof, which means to convict us. To convict us of our wrongs, the error of our ways. People don't like to be convicted. It's also for correction. God not only convicts us and teaches us where we've erred, He also tells us how to straighten our way up, how to straighten ourselves out, what to do to make it right, to instruct us in righteousness. The man of God, the child of God, may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God will furnish you with all that you stand in need of. And every scripture that we see in God's word is profitable to us if we'll read it and try to understand how it applies to us in our lives today. You know, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. You know, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the same today as it was when Jeremiah penned it. It's no different. There's nothing new under the sun. Let's begin and read the first verse. It says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto you, unto your fathers. God said, I'm going to be fulfilling a promise today that I made unto you. You know, and one day He's going to come back and fulfill the ultimate promise, is He not? He's going to gather up His family and He's going to deliver them into glory. And we're going to live there and we're not going to have any more tears. We're not going to have any more sorrows. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. That's going to be the greatest day of your life. Amen. That's going to be the greatest day of your life. We're told, I believe, over in the 7th chapter of Ecclesiastes, the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. That's hard for people to understand. They're left behind. And what I mean by left behind, we're still living. But for the person that died, that's the best day in his life. You know, we may be sad and we may cry, but he's escaped the bondage of sin in this old world and the troubles that he's had to deal with. We see this. Now, think about the commandments of God. Do we ever find ourselves excusing ourselves for sin because we are sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God? Do we believe in ourselves that we can't keep God's commandments? This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Do you know what that tells me? It's not impossible for you and I to keep the commandments of God. We don't, and if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But it's not an impossibility. Sometimes I think we convince ourselves it's impossible to keep the commandments of God. I will tell you, to keep God's commandments and to be obedient unto His word, it takes some effort, some conscious awareness. You know, it says over in the 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good manners. Worthless companionships destroy good moral habits. You got to know where you're going and where you place yourself in life, where you're most tempted. We're all weak in the flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There are things that we can do in life to be far more obedient to the commands of God if we would read His word and understand that we are weak in the flesh. Our flesh is weak and temptation draws us in and we're supposed to remove ourselves from the very presence of evil. Evil's around us everywhere and we're not going to totally get away from it. But there are things that we can do. The Bible teaches us to train up our children in the way that they should go. That's an important facet of life. That's part of that family unit I spoke of. We can keep the commandments of God. And God has given us great promises when we follow Him and observe His commandments. I believe the Lord will bless us. He won't give you a life where you never have any troubles, but He'll make a way through the difficulties that you go through in life. He will. His grace is sufficient for thee as it was for Paul. It's sufficient. He may not get rid of that problem in your life, but He'll give you the grace to get through it. By God's grace, we can go on. You know, Paul said, "For by the grace of God, I am what I am." And he said, there was a time that I persecuted the church. I consented to the death of Christians, to women and children. I consented to that. But I'm no longer that way. And it's not anything that I've done. It was by the almighty grace of God. And we need to remember that we are who we are, just like He is, by the grace of God. He goes on in verse 2, and I think about this. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness.
You know, that has a reflection on our lives. We're in the wilderness, are we not? We're pilgrims and strangers upon the earth. We have our difficulties and our trials and our times. In that day, he literally led the children of Israel by a cloud and a pillar in the day and a fire by night. He never left them in all their troubles, but they had their troubles. They got hungry, and he fed them with manna. They went 3 days without water, and he caused water to come out of the rock flint. He brought water to them. He was always with them. You know, Jesus said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." You know, we may forsake the Lord, and I'm certain that I've done that in my life. I've forsaken the Lord, but he never forsaken me. God has always been there, and he was always with these children. And there's a lesson for us. Life is a struggle at times. It's full of troubles. It's full of difficulties. We have physical afflictions, spiritual afflictions. We have troubles of all kinds. But the Lord is always there, and the Lord will always guide us in the right direction. His grace is sufficient. He said, "For these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee." You know, we talk about humility a lot. And next Sunday, we're going to have communion here at Lubbock. And when we wash the saints' feet, one of the great lessons in that service is humility. But I'll tell you what, when you go through the difficulties of life, when you go through the struggles of life, whether it be physical afflictions, financial problems, or relational problems, I tell you, God can humble you under his mighty hand in a way that you'll never had get by reading the Bible or any other book. Amen. We have a little bit of humility we learn at the washing of the saints' feet, but I tell you, God can he can suck the pride out of you, if I can use that term. He can take it from you. And pride is the opposite of humility. He humbled these folks in the wilderness. You know, they had came out of Egypt. And the Lord brought them to the Red Sea. And you know, they all was fearful that, what are we going to do now? And he opened the sea up, and they crossed on dry land, and he drowned the enemy. And not long after that, they began to complain and murmur. And the Lord said they would walk around that mountain for 40 years because of their unbelief. Isn't that an amazing thing? They wasn't over an 11-day journey by foot to the land of Canaan, and yet they spent all that time. But the Lord was with them. Did you know that? Their clothes didn't wax old. Their shoes didn't wax old. Isn't that amazing? When God blesses you, you have what you stand in need of. Do we not in this country? He says, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. You know, when we're disobedient unto the Lord, the Lord knows how to humble each and every one of us in his own special way. I know that from experience. The Lord can bring you to the end of your way, just as he brought the prodigal son to the end of his way. You know, we get to the point that there's no one left but the Lord in our life. And I know I've been there, and that's a lesson that we learn. You know, I told people I learned a lot of lessons the hard way, and I did. You know, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. And a lot of people can't swallow the idea of God's chastisement. But it's one of the greatest acts of love in a natural family or in God's family that you'll ever have. For he that spareth the rod hates his son, does he not? But he that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes, gets a hold of it early. God says, take the rod and place it upon those children and correct them, just as he'll place it upon us as we go through the journey of life. He says in verse 3, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's quoted over in Matthew chapter 4. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you understand that life is more about God than it is about this world? And it takes, to have a good life, to have a blessed life, it takes more than just the natural manna that we eat, the natural bread. We're told in John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread that come down from heaven. Jesus Christ is the one who sustains our life. He is the one who is always there for us. He's the one who we can call upon when we have a great need in our life, when things are difficult. I know that he may not fix them in an instant, but he will help you. He will bless you. He will give you the strength that you need to go on when you think there's no way to go on. He was teaching them that lesson, and I believe he teaches us that lesson today. You know, they had walked around that mountain and in the desert for 40 years. I just can't hardly imagine how close they were to that promised land. But because of their murmuring and complaining, God didn't allow them to go over until they had all died. But now we're getting to this place where they're going to go into this land. And they're going to go into a land that has vineyards and it has trees and fruit and every necessity of life. They're not going to have to labor to do those things. It's already there. You know, that's how heaven's going to be. God's going to provide every blessing for us. There'll not be anything that we stand in need of. He's going to do away with all the troubles of this life, and he's going to bless us with all spiritual blessings and all the things that we stand in need of throughout all eternity. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Let's go on to verse 4. And thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell those 40 years. That's a miraculous thing. That just shows the providential care that God had for those people. But I tell you, he has it for us today. He has providential care for each and every one of his children as we go through life today. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God chasteneth thee. You know, nobody likes chastisement. You know, I made that statement. If we were truly as thankful as we ought to be, unless there was a life-threatening experience, we'd be in the house of the Lord every Sunday. We'd never be too weary. We'd never be too tired. There'd never be anything in this life going on that we wouldn't be here because of all the thanksgiving we owe our God. Amen. And we owe him more than we can ever repay for all the goodness that he's blessed us with in this great land. And you know, when you begin to read this chapter, you look at the comparisons of the promised land to the comparisons of the things that you and I have today in the great land of the United States of America. Things that you and I have that we didn't have to labor for. They were labored for by other men way back there. And yet we enjoy the great benefits of God's blessings today based upon the labors and upon the efforts of others behind us. What a blessing that is. And we ought to thank God every day for those things. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. I ask you today, were you not born into a good land? You know, all that you and I know in life is what we've lived. Whether you be 60 years old or 80 years old like Brother Bernard or a little beyond that, what we really know in experience is what we've lived through. And times have changed in this country. You know, we see what happened over the last several years in this country. Are we kidding ourselves? Is this an accident or a coincidence that these things are happening? I tell you what, I believe without a doubt that the Christian influence in this country is fading away compared to what it was one day. Back in the early days of this country, Christian influence was tremendous compared to what it is now. And as that influence fades, we see more and more of these things going on. We see evil rising up in a way that it has. You know, the Bible says that we're to let our light so shine. Is the light of God's people truly shining in the land today in a way that God called upon us to shine? I don't believe it is. I believe we put our light under a bushel, as the Bible might say, or under the bed. It's not upon a lampstand. Where it can be give light to all the room. I mean, this is not an accident. This is not a coincidence that these things are happening. It's a departure from the Christian way, from Jesus Christ. God's people done it in the past, and we see it happening in the present. Yeah. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. You know, these things might not have been in the United States, but I tell you, for me, when I was born into this country, they existed. And I was fed, and I've always been fed. We've always had abundance of food in the United States of America. You and I had the liberty to come up to the house of the God and to worship him without fearing persecution or being put to death. You know, it's hard to imagine there's been times in the past where people had to go in caves like in England, and I know they did. I've read about it, to worship the Lord and to congregate together for the fear of being put to death. Don't think for a minute that couldn't happen here. Let's be real. Are we thankful as we ought to be? Are we letting our light so shine? And it's so easy to think, well, we're just a few in number. We're insignificant. We don't matter. But I'll tell you what, I believe if there'd have been enough righteous men in Sodom, God has spared that city. And I believe right now this country very well may be spared, because there still are enough good folks and righteous folks that are trying to do the right thing. But will that continue? Will that continue? We know that the churches in West Texas are in decline. I call upon you to be faithful unto the cause, to let your light so shine. You know, we're an example everywhere we go. We may not be a good example, but we're an example. We're all examples of one, good or bad or whatever. Are we leaving a good example for our children, our grandchildren, the young people in this world? You know, when John Newton explained that the Sabbath day was a day to keep holy, the Lord's Day, which we call Sunday, the first day of the week, he said we're to rid ourselves of everything in the world. You reckon any of these distractions that we have going on in life today have made a difference in our lives or in our churches or in our society? Little by little, subtly, has it not made change? I can remember back in the 60s when I was 7, 8, 9 years old, the great difference in the churches and the attendance and the associations here in West Texas. The association doesn't even exist today. None of them do in the West Texas area. West Providence, all those associations we used to have are no longer here. The people have thinned out. And you know, I hope the Lord will bless us and revive us. I believe when the Lord said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and here's that dreaded word, turn from their wicked ways. You know, God's people don't believe they're wicked. But any unrighteousness, when we disobey God, it's wickedness. It's unrighteousness. It really is. He said, then will I hear from heaven. That tells me if we're not willing to make any changes in our life, he's not willing to hear us. Then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive your sin and heal your land. Call upon the Lord. But God expects us to be doers of his word and not just hearers. He expects us to do more than give lip service. To call upon his name. To let our light so shine every day. Going on through here, he says, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. That reminds me of home right now. All the years of my life, I've ate bread without scarceness. This is the land that the children of Israel are going in. This is how God has blessed us today in the United States of America. One of the great themes, the two themes I get out of this chapter, is to remember the Lord and to be thankful. To be thankful. It says, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. You know, we give thanks before we eat a meal. But when I read this verse, it tells me that I might ought to pause and give thanks for being full and having all that I needed. You know, you can't pray too much. That's for sure. But he says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. We started back in the second verse, and it says, thou shalt remember. You know, the Bible tells me enough about remembering that it must be that we as God's children even can be a forgetful people. We get to the point that we don't remember. Peter said, I'll not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. He said, I'm going to preach the same thing over and over and over. And you know, a lot of people probably got tired of hearing the same thing over and over. He said, you know the truth. You've been established in it, but I'm going to keep preaching it to you. That tells me that God made us understand that we can soon forget those great truths. And, you know, I know that's the truth in my own experience. It's amazing how much we can forget when we don't hear the gospel preached, when we don't study and read God's word. We can forget what little that we knew. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein. We've been in a land of abundance. I know there are people that are hungry in this country, but I tell you, the hungry people in this country have more food and are helped more than a lot of hungry people in this world. You go to Africa and you won't find that. We built goodly houses, have we not? Most people live in a good house. You know, I've been to the Philippines twice, and I've seen people living in cardboard boxes for houses. I also tell you that most houses over there are no bigger than one room in your house, their entire house, no matter how many children they've got. We've had goodly houses here, don't we? We've notice what it says. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. You know, we're one of the most blessed nations that's ever existed upon the earth, and blessings came from God. You know, we have a tendency to believe that we were just smarter and better and greater. Have you ever just thanked God that you was born in the United States of America? Think about that for a minute. You could have been born in any other country in this world, but you were born in the best place upon the earth. That's something we ought to thank God for every night, is being blessed here, because we didn't have anything to do with our natural birth, just as we didn't have anything to do with our spiritual birth. But thanks be to God and His mercy, we've been born to live in this great country. He goes on, he says, when all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Isn't it amazing when we accomplish things in life and we prosper, how easy it is for us to forget the Lord? You know, some people have more than you have. Some people have less. But in this country overall, we have more than any other people on the earth have ever had. Not just to mention our religious freedoms and the liberty, which you can place no price on. And, you know, I can say that probably with more sincerity when the day comes that we don't have that. And it may come if we continue down the road we're going down. Which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, we all live in bondage to some degree, and one day the Lord's going to completely deliver us out of that hand of bondage, just as He delivered the children of Israel, the Old Testament, out of Egypt. He's going to deliver us out of Egypt. That's the world, and I'm looking forward to that deliverance, are you not? We're going to be delivered, caught up in the air with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I look more and more forward to that day every day that I live. Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. Do you feel like you've been tested in life? You know, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You know, that word joy isn't necessarily jumping up and down and turning cartwheels. But it's a joy that you have in the Lord, that He loved you enough to deal with you. That He brought you into testings in your life to prove you. You know, it's only through those situations that we draw close to the Lord. It's unfortunate. But I tell you what, the worst things are in my life, and I bet in your life, the closer you walk with the Lord, the more you need Him, and the better things are, oftentimes, the further we remove ourselves from the Lord. Prosperity, it's a difficult thing to prosper in this life and stay close to the Lord. We ought to be able to do that, but the Lord brings those instances into our life, and I believe that's a great reason He does, to test us and prove us, to know that we need the Lord. We need Him all the time. He goes on and he says, and thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. I tell you, we got a lot of people that stand up and make that statement in this good old U.S. of A today. You know, people that have more than others think that they're smarter than others. But I don't care how smart you are, if God didn't bless you with the strength and the power to get wealth, you wouldn't have it. You know, we have a real problem with giving ourselves too much credit in the area of what we have or don't have. It's a blessing of the Lord, what you have. It's not a blessing of something that you've done apart from the Lord. Had the Lord not blessed you, you wouldn't have anything in this life. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Has anybody forgotten the Lord? Do we think about the Lord day in and day out? Has God's people forsaken the Lord in this land and forgotten Him? For it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant with which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. That even sends home a message to me in this land. The blessings of those who went before us
paved the way for what you and I have. Now, that doesn't mean we'll always have it. But we have a lot of it because of the labors of other men. You know, I seen a deal, and I showed it to Brother Darrell. It said there was two people who died for us. First one was Christ, and the other one was he died for our souls, and the American soldier died for our freedom.
Yeah, right.
And you know, there's some truth to that, and God blessed us in a lot in that. May we never forget that great truth. He says, that thou may establish this covenant with us, which he sware unto his fathers as he did this day. This is the great theme, not to forget the Lord thy God. Don't forget him today. Don't forget him tomorrow. Let your light so shine every day that men seeing your good works would bring glory and honor to your Father. Do you know that's why we were created? We were created for the purpose of honoring and glorifying God. We're told that over in the fourth chapter of Revelation, verse 11. He was created, and he created us for his pleasure and his good. And we ought to honor his name for all the goodness that he's given us. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods. And another god is anything you place in your heart and in your mind before the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a tall order, and it's a hard one. It's something you've got to think about in life. Is there anything you put in this world before Jesus Christ? Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He knew in this life it was all about Christ. Just as it was for Paul, it is for us. That's what it should be about, Jesus Christ. He says, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Now, the perishing that's under consideration here is not eternal perishing. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life in John 10, and they shall never perish. Well, we're told over in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. He was long-suffering with those folks back there, and he's long-suffering with us, isn't he? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, it's not God's desire to have to chasten us and judge us. But when we are judged, we are chastened to God, by God, that we might not be condemned with the world. He is not willing that any of us should perish, but that we should all come to repentance. He sends those troubles and trials into our life. He spoke to them here of the scorpions and the lack of food at times, because it caused those folks to be dependent upon God and not upon themselves. But he goes on, and I'll read these two verses again and close. And it shall be that if thou at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods, and as I said, that's anything from pleasure to recreation to whatever you put in your heart ahead of the Lord, and serve them and worship them. And we all know that's taking place today in abundance. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. God speaks to us through his word. God has told us that he blessed us with many things in the world, and we're to enjoy them. But when those things, whatever they so they may be, become so important to us that we lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, then they become an idol. They become a god to us in life. And he said, when that happens, you'll forget the Lord your God. That's what happened to the children of Israel numerous times. You know, I think about Isaiah chapter 30. The children of Israel were in such a condition that they said to cause the Lord to the Holy One to cease before them. And I believe it's verse 14. Can you imagine that God's people get in such a condition that they want the Holy One? He was being a problem to their life, their way of life, their desire in life. They were rebellious. You read chapter 30 of Isaiah sometime, and them people were not in a good condition. I don't believe we're there yet. Brother Darrell said something last Sunday. He said, I believe God may be giving us another chance. You know, he always said that things could change if we would humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. He's given us an open door to make changes. And that doesn't mean the only person you can change is yourself. Did you ever know that? Me and I can preach, Brother Bernard can preach, but really the change that takes place in this world is going to be done in yourself. I can't change other folks. I'd like to, but I probably need to change myself more than I need to change other folks. I need to understand that Jesus Christ is first and foremost. And the time that we have on this earth is very brief. The life that we live is brief. It's short. And it'll soon come to an end. But until the Lord returns, I encourage you to not forget His name. And to continue to assemble yourselves together and always be thankful. Be thankful, because we have more to be thankful for than we can ever begin to imagine. Let us give God the thanks He deserves, and let us not forget His holy name, for He has blessed us in a way that we cannot even begin to express today. And one day, we're going to have them great blessings throughout all eternity. And I tell you, I'm looking so forward to it.